services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 277. I'm Adam and exterminate, and here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
So, anyone for Dodgems?
Yes.
Debbie Melrose.
Shh now, Mummy's talking.
And he still hasn't had a baby yet. Nunny.
Not seeing you as sandwiches now.
Mary Lang.
I love killing clever clogs. They always make the best faces.
And where is everybody else? All right. And thank you very much. We're not going to talk about the new episode just yet because we have a special guest on the show, Lynn Hamilton.
Yay!
That's me.
Yeah, that's you, yes. Now, the interesting thing is, Lynn, you're not too far away from Mary and Kirby, are you?
Possibly. Where are Mary and Kirby?
Well, I'm in Ohio.
I'm in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. We're neighbors, practically. Yeah. I'm in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, so really not that far from some parts of Ohio, anyway.
Okay.
Now, you've written a book, haven't you?
I have written a book.
And what's this book about?
This book is titled Mysteries of Doctor Who, and it is kind of a shameless collection of my opinions. It's very opinionated about the themes and the messages of Doctor Who, and some of the more fascinating aspects of it that I was fascinated by, and a little bit of ranting about a couple discontinuities in the show.
Do you rant about Stephen Moffat?
Do I rant? Could you say that again? Do I rant about
Stephen Moffat?
Stephen Moffat.
I don't think I rant about... No, I don't think I actually mentioned Stephen Moffat at all. Should I? Do you
Not
rant
necessarily.
About Stephen Moffat? What is there to rant about?
Some people do have a tendency to rant about various different topics in relation to Doctor Who.
I think I really like Stephen Moffat and his writing. Mm-hmm. I think I really like the writing of all, you know, I think I just generally, I don't think that there's anybody I would identify as not having done a good job with their Doctor Who episode. I'm more concerned about the way it all ties together and whether the universe is consistent or not.
Yes.
And I do see some problems with the consistency. And some of that may come from the fact that there are different writers.
And do you find that, have you watched it from the beginning, or is it just encompassing new Doctor Who?
When you say from the beginning, are you talking about Doctor Who Classic?
Yes.
I have not watched all of those.
No, so no. It's all from about 10 years ago, from the Eccleston era onwards, yes?
No, I actually started with Tom Baker.
Oh, that's good enough.
Yeah.
So do you find that the consistencies during that era are quite poor compared with now?
I might need you to repeat that. The what are quite poor in
the consistencies in the, you know,
yeah,
canon.
There were so many problems with the early show, and I absolutely adored it anyway. It was so campy, and the special effects were so bad that I think I probably didn't notice if there were any problems with the actual backdrop of the universe. And, you know, and also I probably hadn't watched enough of it to notice that. And I know that there has been some effort to keep, to bring over some storylines. There's been kind of a beautiful and successful effort in some ways to bring over storylines from the original classic Doctor Who into the new Doctor Who. So I really appreciate that.
Yes, that's one thing Moffat certainly has done.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you decide you were going to write a book about this particular subject?
Well, I am a Doctor Who fan from of old, and I have to admit, you know, I had not done a lot of research beyond, you know, watching the shows, but I have watched, you know, many of the shows numerous times, and, you know, was very opinionated about them, as I say. And my publisher, PLB Enterprise, came to me one day and said, you know, I'd like you to write another book, but you've done a couple things in the how-to genre. I'd like to move away from that. And then he said, what every writer dreams that somebody will say to you at some point in your life, is there anything that you have ever wanted to write about, but you never had a chance because nobody ever asked you to do it? And so at that point, I gave him three different story. I gave him three different book ideas, and he chose Doctor Who from amongst those three. So this was something that I, you know, always wanted to write about, but nobody was paying me to do it. So as soon as I had an opportunity, I kind of leapt at the chance.
Mm, good.
Oh, wow, that must have been amazing.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to put together then?
Say that again.
How long did it take you to put it together?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, this is an e-book, and I think it's only about 7,000 words long. So I'm going to admit, I don't think it took me more than a week.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I've just bought it in the Kindle store, so I'll be reading it later.
Well, thank you for that. Yes. I hope everyone will buy it on Kindle.
I'm sure they will. Right. Remind the listeners how they get hold of it.
Okay, you can go to Amazon.com and then go to the Kindle store, or you can also just Google Kindle. And once you get to Kindle, you enter Mysteries of Doctor Who and should be able to find it pretty easily that way. I will warn people, there are a lot of Doctor Who books out there on Kindle, so I think you have to actually type in the title, Mysteries of Doctor Who.
That found you.
Okay, you did. How did you find it? Just out of curiosity.
I went off Amazon and I typed your name in, and then I scrolled down, and you were about fourth down. So, there you
okay.
go.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. There you go. Very good.
So, have you ever considered writing your next book about Doctor Who podcasts? be sure to remember us.
Okay. Thank you. I will.
There's a big history in Doctor Who podcasts, some of which are no longer with us.
Yeah, that's a shame, because they're really cool.
They are indeed. Have you listened to some then?
Well, I have started listening to them just because, you know, my publisher set up all these interviews.
Yeah.
And so now I get to know about I have to admit, before this, I did not know that there were so many Doctor Who podcasts. It was a whole universe that was revealed to me after I wrote this book. So that was kind of fascinating.
Well, there are lots. It's going to keep you busy for a while, isn't it?
Yes.
But don't make it you too busy to write any more Doctor Who books.
I'm not really sure I have another Doctor Who book.
I'm sure you do.
For the time being. Yeah,
for the time being.
I probably don't. Yeah. I think it might be another 20 years. I think I may have said everything that I have to say about Doctor Who for this, you know, decade at least. Yeah.
I'd be fascinated to know what made you feel like you needed to rant. Because you said you had a rant a little bit about some of it.
Okay, this is a small rant, and somebody's going to immediately tell me why I'm wrong. And it may be one of you, and that would be fine.
It'll probably be Kirby.
You can explain to me why I'm wrong.
Yeah, it'll be Kirby, don't worry.
But one little thing that I ranted about, you know, for the most part, my book is a love story to Doctor Who, so I won't want anybody to get the wrong impression that it's mostly a rant, because it isn't. But I did rant a little bit about what I see is an inconsistent portrayal of the Time Lords. If you look at the End of Time episode with David Tennant closing out his regime as the Doctor, the way Rassilon and his crew of Time Lords is portrayed there, and also the Doctor's reaction to knowing that they're coming, they really look like villains at that point. And I feel like that's inconsistent with the way that they're being portrayed now.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, the Matt Smith Doctor has nostalgically saved Gallifrey and now yearns to go home and reconnect with his Gallifrey origins, I feel that they're being portrayed very differently. And, you know, I think this is the kind of thing that just some good writing could probably solve that problem for me, to my satisfaction. But so far that hasn't happened. I need some kind of reconciliation of those two different portrayals of the Time Lords.
Yes, some very good points there, and I can't disagree with it. And Kirby's kept very quiet, so I presume you must be right.
I can't disagree either.
Well, there you go. You've achieved something there, Lynn.
Hooray! Give her a ding.
Oh, all right. Yes. Okay. No, it didn't work. Sorry, because I got trapped there. There we go.
Well, I have to say that I think is it the Day of the Doctor, the big anniversary portrayal when when he's trying to save Gallifrey, you know, Gallifrey falls no more, that the common people seemed to be the ones that were in his heart that he wanted to save.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the portrayal of the leaders around that table, when they were seeing the pictures of the doctors that were coming to save, they were, those leaders were not happy. So I get the feeling that the leaders, which would be, you know, the Rassilon and others, would be not friendly characters, but it's the people of Gallifrey that I think the doctor felt for when he stayed. So I felt that.
Go ahead. Not to be pedantic, but I believe that the common people are not necessarily Time Lords. They're just Gallifreyans.
Well, then the Gallifreyans, yeah. But the leaders were still portrayed as not terribly friendly in that episode.
Didn't Rassilon kill one for disagreeing with him in that one?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was... What I thought when I was growing up with Doctor Who, I always thought that everybody on Gallifrey was a Time Lord. And then every single person. And then now that we're sort of seeing different casts and different, you know, different experiences, I want to explore that a little bit more just so that I'm satisfied with the fact that, okay, so not all of them are Time Lords.
Yeah, yeah. And how, and if they're not, who becomes one?
Yeah, how did they become one? I mean, other than looking into the Untempered Schism and all that, but.
Right.
Yeah, how did they decide that they would get the chance to? So yeah, that I'd like to experience that.
I will say though that often the Doctor is regarded as a Gallifreyan.
Hmm.
Yes, he's from Gallifrey.
Yes, he is a Gallifreyan.
Yeah, so,
he's both. He's from Gallifrey and he's a Time Lord.
And where does it say in canon that normal Gallifreyans can't regenerate?
I don't know. We don't know enough about the Gallifreyans. Yeah,
we don't know about the.
There's Lynn's next book.
Anyway, Lynn.
Thank you very much for joining us, Lynn. I hope you have a lot of success with this and it inspires you to write even more.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Thanks. Nice meeting all of you.
Bye.
Nice to meet you.
Right then, chums.
Okay, did I just poke a hole in her theory?
No, I don't think so. I think she probably was ranting along that theme, so yes.
Well, if I get a nasty email from her publisher, then
I'll return the book.
Remember, there are whole long sequences in The Invasion of Time where I believe Leela goes out and spends time with the common people.
Mm.
Okay. Anyway.
Well, like Jarvis Cocker.
Shall we move on? Everybody.
Is that there is not an inconsistency in how the leaders of Gallifrey are Time Lords, you know, if it's the Time Lords that are the leaders, I don't know.
Yes.
I don't see that inconsistency that she sees.
Right.
Well, there is a certain inconsistency. I think that's what she was referring to. The Time Lords of the Tom Baker era are not quite the same as the ones we have seen in the modern era. That there is a difference. The Time Lords of that era are more sort of portrayed as the conservative politicians.
They're the government, aren't they? Yeah,
whereas the current ones are more portrayed as tyrants. More like the Saddam Hussein type.
A lot of it reminded me of, with Timothy Dalton's Rassilon, almost reminded me of classic Master, the way he was behaving.
Yeah, exactly. But the Rassilon was probably a bit like that, because the only other taste of Rassilon we had was in The Five Doctors, and the way he quite happily turned, you know, sort of lured these people to their sort of turning to stoneness. I don't know how you would call that. He did it with great glee, didn't he? So there's obviously something
psychopathic
about him.
I like that Rassilon better than the more recent Rassilon.
Yeah, the Rassilon.
Mm, anyway, right. The Witch is Familiar. Right.
Familiar with what?
Shut up. This cliffhanger, if I can spit the words out, was a strange one, because it was a cliffhanger for the end of the next episode.
I thought last week that's what had happened.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes, so part of what I said was right as well, and I can't remember which bit it was, but...
Yeah, we got a previously, and that's really odd for a second episode, isn't it? You know,
But...
No, yeah, I mean in a series.
Yes, but I think my my prediction was that the Doctor was going to turn up and miss and shoot something else. I didn't realize it was going to be the hand mines, but well, I wasn't too far off.
That's my prediction. Andy came up with that one.
Well done, Andy.
I get one of these.
Yay!
Yay!
Doesn't count for anything, but you get it anyway.
He goes out with a ding.
Yeah. Now, Kirby got very excited. I could feel some strange vibrations across the pond when the opening sequence showed a detailed shot of the special weapons Dalek.
That was nice, yes.
Yes.
And so, the special weapons Dalek even has a couple of lines.
Yes.
Exterminate.
Yes. But, like I said, the...
My
prediction that they'd use the vortex manipulators to get out of the situation was correct.
And that also explained Missy getting out of the situation at the end of last series.
Yes, so, which I predicted as well.
I think it was fairly obvious obvious get out, I thought.
Yeah. So the first shot of this particular episode is Clara tied by her feet upside down while... Missy sharpens a pointed stick.
I love that.
Yeah, I was thinking, how many people thought Monty Python?
It was obviously
Monty Python. When it was on the Tin Dog podcast this morning, he opened up with that sketch.
Yeah.
And I thought, go on, Kirby.
I haven't listened to any other podcasts since watching this, so I don't know what the opinions were of anybody else.
Well, Chip Sutter was... very liked it. Michael, don't know his surname, didn't.
Okay, well, shall we move on to what we're talking about at the moment? There's a bit where Missy sort of reminisces about the Doctor, one of his sort of previous adventures, and we see allegedly the Fourth Doctor running through some catacombs, and it becomes...
Why do you say allegedly?
It was the Fourth and the First.
Yeah, but it wasn't actually Tom Baker and William Hartnell, because one of them's
dead. No, it was actually the Fourth and the First.
Yeah, and I'm amazed that you were able to catch that was the first.
It
because
was.
I don't care how many times I went over that little piece of film.
You only saw the top of his head.
It was just a dark shadow. I could not make out who that was.
Well, it didn't look much like Tom Baker, did it?
No one said that it was Hartnell or Baker.
No, it didn't look much like
him. I mean, the first has been portrayed by at least three different actors so far.
Yeah. But that was quite cleverly done, that show. I quite like that.
Yes.
So Missy decides that they're going to...
I did like her story. That was hysterical.
Vampire monkeys. Yay!
Yeah. Yes.
Another way that she says, but this is the Doctor, because obviously he doesn't get out of the situation in a conventional way, because he's the Doctor.
Make your own stick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
In case we have to hunt.
So eventually, after telling the story... Clara gets let down. And then I love the bit where, a little bit later on, where she wants to test the depth of the hole.
It was obvious, but it was still very funny.
Yeah,
I knew
it was going to happen, but it just had to be done, didn't it?
I like the way, though, I watched it again today, and unfortunately, you can see Jenna Coleman actually stepping forward to go in. It's not a sort of, she goes in without any movement. You can actually see her stepping.
Yeah, she needed to do a bit of a theatrical sort of wobble.
It was very funny.
Tumble more than step, yeah.
Yeah. The long shots of Gallifrey, the long shots of the Skaro City, I don't know what you would call it, the Dalek City, look great with the Daleks flying around.
Well, all shouting for him, yeah.
And, so the Doctor's... stuck with Davros.
Oh, I love that bit with the tea.
With the tea?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tea from I'm the Doctor, just accept it.
Yeah. That was one of my quotes.
So lovely.
That was one of your quotes.
Like whimsical bits in here, and that was one of them, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Debbie took my quote.
Did you think my quote was a bit unimaginative? I thought it was quite a theme of the episode.
No, you could have been saying any number of things to us.
Anyway.
The one I expected, everyone...
You could be angry at us like you normally are.
I was waiting for the your sewers are revolting. I thought that's the obvious one to come up with, and yet no one did.
That was my second choice.
That was my third choice. I thought it would be so obvious, someone's going to beat me to it, so I didn't have that as my first choice.
Anyway.
My main choice was going to be exterminate, because I thought we might all do that, but we didn't. So, no,
you know. Fortunately, I get to use the first one. So, yes, thank you very much. Bagsy.
Should have all joined in.
Yeah, exterminate. I love you too. Yeah.
So, eventually we get the iconic shot of the Doctor in Davros's chair, which is really cool. And I tell you what, you know, when
Davros doesn't have any legs, he ends at the waist. How did the Doctor get his very long legs into that chair?
Oh, stop spoiling it, Mary.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. And also, we've already seen the inside of a Dalek. There's no room for Clara to get inside of one. There was no room for Ian to get inside of one. There was no room for the first Doctor to get inside of one, except that one. That one was in a museum, so they probably hollowed it out anyway.
Thank you, Kirby.
Have I hit a hot spot for you?
Yes, you have. Don't ruin it.
No, anyways, the thing is it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
The conventions, everybody gets into the Daleks.
Yes.
I do like the fact now that they basically nodded to people querying about how things work by going, I'm the Doctor. Just accept it. Go along with the ride.
That's anyway, exactly right. It. Just accept it.
Move on. Right.
Unless now, it's really stupid.
They wanted to make a point of doing quite a lot of wide shots of Daleks altogether and the retro Daleks. I'm delighted to say the retro Daleks do not look out of place among these newer Daleks.
They don't. Just
thank God we have no Teletubby Daleks, thank goodness.
Yeah, oh, that's a bit of a shame in some ways, because they would have fitted into this particular scene.
Everybody else was there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I guess they kind of did that with Dalek Prime. You know, he's red. There you go. That's the coloured ones.
Yeah.
I wish that turquoise one would turn around. I want to see if it's got the little dish on the back of it.
Oh yeah.
Might have. But anyway, what was I just about to say before I got interrupted again?
Words.
Obviously. Yeah. So Davros is just lying on the floor with just his upper torso and some strange things coming out
blue,
of him.
Blue stuff. Yeah.
And considering he's on the verge of death, I'm surprised that didn't kill him.
Yeah. And he spent a lot of time on those cables.
Yeah, and he wasn't necessarily on the verge of death anyway.
Exactly.
Wasn't he?
It was a ruse.
It was
a ruse. Yes. Was it?
Good word.
Mm-hmm. Ruse.
And I like the only other chair in Skaro.
You are honoured.
Yeah. That was really good. And they all try and shoot the Doctor because. Because he's sat in Davros's chair, it all bounces off. And then Missy is brilliant in the cage when we get the Dalek goo, and then we get the CCTV camera which she makes Clara look into. She'd be gullible in this particular sequence.
She mentions about her ring, saying the Doctor gave it to me when my daughter. Yeah. And you leave it at that. That was right.
Makes me think that Maisie, whatchamacallit, is in fact. Missy's stroke the master's daughter.
Cannot stop.
Here we go. Spoilers again. Thank you, Kirby.
Nope, she is not. Although I wouldn't be surprised if Clara isn't.
What? Now, if she turns out to be the Missy stroke the master's daughter, Kirby, that's one of the worst spoilers you've ever done, and you're sacked from the show.
No, I don't know that.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, now you're backtracking. Now you're backtracking.
You know that. This is where we're headed. She's going to become a Dalek.
They put her in it. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, I'm just disappointed she didn't mention souffles when she was.
Well, she may get there, you know? We're paving the way.
Yes, indeed.
I want to know how the Doctor got those things out of her head.
Yeah, because Missy said no one's ever done it before, so he said sorry for the damage, so.
Right.
What's maybe happened that's to it? Is there something going to come along halfway down the line?
Yeah, maybe there's something in her head now.
Something's gone wrong with her.
Become Dalek,
yeah.
Yes. One of my quotes was open wide.
Yeah, I did like that. Yeah, your skull. Yeah, how the hell are you going to do that? I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, Moffat said he was going to tie the stories together, so I know that we're headed for her becoming a Dalek.
There's also a bit of a throwback to John Pertwee when... the snakes come out of Davros's seat and sort of smother the Doctor, and the way he was, it was a bit Pertwee-ish when Pertwee got attacked by the sort of octopusy thing story. What was it?
Because you could tell that he was just hemming it up there.
I can't remember Capaldi the story called
was
now.
Hemming it up there and just.
Something from
for
space.
For CGI to be put on later.
Spearhead from space, that was it.
Yeah.
So anyway, Clara's sort of being a bit gullible. She gets, allows herself to get. She keeps forgetting she's with Missy, and allows herself to get handcuffed to.
Every miner needs a canary.
Yes.
Yes.
And and then she manages to kill the Dalek, which obviously subsequently means that Clara gets into the Dalek. That's all very cleverly done.
I mean, did they bring along a whole bunch of rags to clean it out, or what?
Yeah, because she picks out the goo and just...
Yeah. And
it was awfully clean when she got inside.
It was getting off all that goo while it was dying, so yeah.
I bet they had a bit of time to clean it out. They are women at least.
Missy's got hankies.
Yeah. Wet wipes.
She's a Time Lord. Get over it.
Time Lady. She's a Time Lady, Mary.
Yeah, she can afford the upgrade.
Yeah.
So, the Doctor is back with Davros again. Well, I love that the scene when Missy sort of takes out the dead Dalek. And brilliantly done. And then this is a lot of very good one-on-one scenes between the Doctor and Davros, which are fantastic.
Some of those fantastic scenes ever.
Yeah.
Give Dime some welly. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah. You keep saying it, but you don't.
Yeah, it's not. They're not dying. Give it some welly.
Yeah.
So, like I say, I love the obviously when the Clara's inside the Dalek, and every time she says something, it translates it into Dalek. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's
okay, that's a bit weird.
Yeah. and it makes Missy laugh quite a lot, which is really funny. Yeah, it's really good. Say I love you. I am a Dalek. No, exterminate, wasn't it?
Exterminate.
Yeah, exterminate.
You are different from me. Exterminate!
Yeah. The other thing I thought was brilliant was the fact that Moffat's sussed out that the word exterminate means reload, which then explains why the Daleks say exterminate before they exterminate someone. Oh, everyone's gone quiet.
Very rarely exterminate anyway.
Yeah, but that's because they're only reloading, they're not firing.
Yeah, the word exterminate isn't what reloads them. It's the emotions.
The emotions. And emotions the gun, yeah.
I thought the word exterminate.
That's what makes them reload.
Okay, I thought the word exterminate did.
No.
Then I apologize.
So take that out of the quiz.
He's not as good as I thought he was. Take it out of the quiz.
Down. It's the emotion fires the gun.
Right.
All right, smarty pants. Very much. So, anyway, Davros eventually gets around to opening up his own eyes and looking upon the Doctor while crying.
That's creepy.
It is really creepy, but makes me wonder why he hasn't used his own eyes in the past.
Yeah,
I always thought he didn't his eyes were destroyed a long time ago.
To me, that seemed like a Moffat add-in, you know, just to prolong a scene.
It didn't bother me a great deal, but it did make me wonder why. Maybe that the one eye on the top of his head just allowed him to see more than his natural eyes would. I don't know.
Especially when Missy pokes him in it.
Yes.
She could tell it was hard plastic when she hit it.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's lots of hand holding as well. Davros holding the Doctor's hand.
That's horrible.
Different bromance, that isn't it?
Yeah.
And Andy, you can see that his hand was very definitely a mechanical hand.
Oh, it definitely was.
Oh.
After last week.
See how satisfied Kirby is with himself there, Andy. So, Missy returns to the Dalek HQ with the Clara Dalek, but has to speak for the Clara Dalek because Clara doesn't quite know what to say in that situation.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the Doctor decides that what he's going to do is going to help Davros see a sunrise, on Skaro by... wiggling his hand and conjuring up some regeneration energy,
that he's going to do it.
Yeah. Well, yes, he went back in time and bribed the architect.
Yeah, there's a song there somewhere, isn't there?
Yes.
Let's not go there, though.
Anyway, and so that then makes Davros quite happy because there's lots of regeneration energy flowing through the Daleks and him, and Missy says, "Oh, what have you done, Doctor?" And there's old damn, I'm going to have to go and rescue him. So she goes along and blasts it, and the doctor falls down, and the snake falls dead. And
But the doctor says he did it on purpose, that he knew he was going to do that all along.
He probably
Did he know Missy was going to come and help him?
No, he probably did know that, because he knew Missy was around, didn't he? He just didn't know Clara was. But
this whole story was exactly the first half of Curse of Fatal Death.
Was it?
Except with Davros rather than the Master.
Yeah, but the Master was there.
The Master was. Well, actually, half of it was there was the sewers from Curse of Fatal Death, and there was the I went back in time and I anticipated your move, and therefore I went back in time and bribed the architect again.
In some ways, it's suitable that Moffat would actually turn that script into a Doctor Who, proper Doctor Who script.
The only thing missing were the bumps.
The what?
Do you like my bumps?
Oh, right.
Missy had those.
That's true. She did have bumps.
So, like you say, the doctor said, "Well, I knew I was doing all along, and basically did all the Seventh Doctor routine, the manipulative doctor." And but we get that great scene where
you're saying you knew that the doctor knew that Missy was back. How did he know she was back?
He's the doctor. He's being all Seventh Doctor, You know, you have to watch the Seventh Doctor to understand what he was like. But the great scene when Missy tries to get the doctor to shoot the Dalek with Clara inside, and Clara's trying to speak to him, but it keeps on translating to
that
different words.
That was a good scene.
Yeah.
I like the, run.
Pardon? Run. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he exudes menace at times, doesn't he, this doctor? You know, he doesn't need to sort of rant and rave and throw himself around. Just the way he says things, you know he means it.
It's funny, though, because... Yeah.
His
says
stance
run.
Is very threatening sometimes.
He says run, but normally when he's saying run to people, it's his own companions. So it's not often he says to his enemy or friend stroke enemy, run, because I'm going to blimmin' kill you if you don't run. But on this occasion he did, but still brilliant.
Master?
Yes?
Concerning the whole, the doctor not thinking that Daleks could say mercy or could show mercy... or knew what mercy was, a lot of people were thinking, oh, but that happened in the Big Bang when River confronted the one Dalek.
Yes,
but the doctor was not present when that conversation occurred.
That Dalek was from the future,
wasn't
it? The Dalek was from the future. So that Dalek would have been a future Dalek with that in its... And it's a bit of a throwback. I think that's quite clever.
Well, now, wait a minute. You're telling me that he didn't see Missy, but he knew she was okay. But now this doctor's, because he didn't witness a Dalek saying mercy, then he can be taken by surprise. So what is it? Does he know these things ahead of time, or doesn't he?
He's just winging it.
It's wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
I mean, we're explaining some things by saying, well, he's the doctor. Of course he knows
exactly.
This.
He's the doctor.
The other time we're saying,
certainly.
Oh,
exactly. You're starting to learn the magic of the doctor.
No, I'm starting to learn that fans can explain anything.
Exactly. It's Doctor Who. Is what we do. Anyway, yeah, so...
But we only explain things when we like a story.
Not necessarily.
If we don't like a story, we don't try to explain it.
We only explain things when we like the series, the show itself.
To the wardrobe, the witch in the wardrobe, at all, and trying to explain any of that.
Anything.
<garbage.
laughs>
it doesn't matter.
I'm surprised that one got made.
Anyway.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
There's a great scene in which the TARDIS reappears, a bit Frontius-ish. It's sort of, and the Doctor now has sonic sunglasses.
Uh-oh, we have a full
they are so cool, those are.
Yeah. Yeah. Money to be made.
Yeah.
The BBC,
BBC
I mean, that's the next one.
Worldwide logo on the inside of them.
Yeah, everybody wants the sonic sunglasses.
It appears that Missy's...
Shake them, they make the noise.
Missy's entrapped by the Daleks.
Did you notice that Edward Owen already posted a picture?
I did, yes.
He's dressed as 12 with the sunglasses.
Yes. Very cool.
Oh, well, Dawn's got a pair of Ray-Bans, so yeah. Well, let's get Junior in a pair of Ray-Bans. There you go, that'll do it.
And the Doctor goes back and rescues little Davros and walks away with him hand in hand. Isn't that lovely? And then we see a very, very creepy prequel to the next story.
Mm-hmm.
It was very...
I think they haven't just put all the creepy stuff into the trail for it.
Yeah, but it reminded me a little bit of The Unquiet Dead. That sort of creepiness, The Unquiet Dead. Remember that story? It was an Eccleston story from about 10 years ago.
There's something else those creatures remind me of. It's one of the Matt Smith's ones, and I can't think which one it is. I've gone completely blank, and I ought to know.
Mm-hmm.
Was it in the Snowmen?
Might be.
Yes.
But not as
creepy. They do have the same edge to them, definitely. Yeah.
Yes, that's what they very much put me in mind of. So I don't know. Anyone else have that thought?
No.
Excuse me.
I can see where you're coming from, though. Yeah.
No, okay. I'd have to maybe go and watch that one to make an assessment on that. But if you think so, that's important enough for me. Right then, now I'm going to talk about what I thought about it. This was rather good, this particular story. This episode itself, so many entertainment. It was just a thorough romp of fun and Doctor Who entertainment with grippingness, good acting, great scenes between one-on-one scenes with characters, comedy, special effects, Daleks, but Daleks being scary and menacing like they should be. And all in all, this was rather good. This was a good Doctor Who story, probably the best Capaldi story so far. Thank you very much. Kirby.
Loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. As I posted on Facebook last night, I strongly suspect this is one that's going to be one of those ones that I just go back and watch again and again, like I watched Day of the Doctor and Pandorica Opens and 11th Hour. Just as I want to watch some Doctor Who just for the fun of it. And I'll probably watch this many times over. It was just so entertaining. And I was so gratified that, unlike most Moffat two-parters, we didn't have a bad half and a good half.
No, you'll get a
half that'll be really entertaining, and then the other half is completely different in tone and disappointing.
We don't have the whole universe having reset for the second one.
Right.
Solve the cliffhanger, yeah.
Now, I don't know what Julia thought yet, even though I spoke with her this morning. I think I mentioned last week, she didn't like the first episode, which I do not understand. So I don't know. She's going to wait until probably tonight to watch it in her apartment.
Okay, well, we'll wait for that next week, won't we?
Louisa, I mean Fred, and her boyfriend.
Louisa, I mean Fred.
You did that last week as well.
Yes.
Don't say my name.
They watched it last night with me as I was watching it for the third time, and they thoroughly enjoyed it. They saw that before Missy knocked Clara into the hole that she was going to. I mean, it was so predictable. But they just thoroughly enjoyed it. I've watched the whole thing 4.5 times now.
Yeah, only half a time.
You know,
I fell asleep.
Well, you know what that reminds me of? You say about it being predictable but still funny. There's a bit of Fawlty Towers. I think it's called The Psychiatrist, where Basil's up the ladder and he gets seen at the window and he starts tapping on the window and he starts going backwards.
Yeah.
And falls away, fall back. Because we knew that was going to happen, but it was still being funny.
Yeah, it's still funny, yes.
Every time you watch it. But, yes.
Well, all of Fawlty Towers is totally predictable now because I've seen them all so many times.
But still funny. It doesn't matter how many times you watch it. I had Isabella and Alicia watching it the other day on UK Gold, and they were laughing their heads off. And Alicia's a miserable blimmin' so-and-so. So to have something to make her laugh, it must have been funny.
I'll need some pizza.
Yes. Andy, what do you think?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought last week was a bit of a Marmite one. A lot of, you know, either loved it or hated it. I think this one is going to be much more in favour. I think it's a very, almost bromance moment between the Doctor and Davros, and you do wonder how far that's going to go. You know, is Davros really dying? Is the Doctor really almost going to forgive him? But no, it's a bluff, double bluff, counter bluff, which I think makes it very clever. You have to keep following well. It's also interesting, the relationship with Master, Missy, call him, her, what you want. So you've actually, interesting, you've got the Doctor there with his two arch enemies, and it's they've really moved the relationship on. It's not the black and white, they're at each other's throats all the time. You know, the thing you have Missy saying, we're part of a team, okay, it's a team where she's, you know, she's Mourinho and Clara is that poor doctor, things like that, you know, she's going to jump to his tune. But I think it's interesting the way they are building those relationships and to see how they move on with Missy. And if we do bring Davros back, which I've no doubt they will do, hopefully not this series, but in, you know, in a future series, and how that relationship works and how they move the Daleks on. Because I think what Moffat's done here, he's given him somewhere to go that's different. We're not going to get routine Daleks, just maniacal. Davros is really completely utterly lunatic. There's now a lot more to it than that. So I think that really works as well. The relationship as well with Clara, you know, how did he get her out of the Dalek? Now, does that kind of link back to what we first saw, the Dalek, the Clara Dalek? And I think, Debbie, you mentioned soufflés. So I think there's a way to go back.
I mentioned soufflés, actually.
What's it, you? Beg your pardon, Adam. Okay, too. But I think what we've got is a way to bring it back to the beginning.
I hope so. I really do. That's the way they do it. It'd be brilliant.
Yeah, so I think he's opened a lot up as to how he's going to move it forward. So I think that was very interesting. I think it was very well acted. I think Capaldi, I think you say he exudes menace when he told Missy to run. And the way he acts, because in a way he's much like Hartnell. He's not big gestures, throwing himself around. He's very small, precise, and it's what he says and it's the way he says it that really moots, you know, he really shows what his character is. And I think that's we haven't had a doctor like that for quite some time. You know, we had Matt Smith, who was really flinging himself around. So was David Tennant. Chris Eccleston never really had much time. So I think we've got a different doctor. We've got a very much a thinking doctor. I think it's perhaps because he's the older man, again, like Hartnell was the first doctor. Therefore, he cannot be the physical doctor. He's got to do it almost mentally, so to speak. He's got to project his persona onto people and do it that way. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I watched it last night after I watched the rugby. We won't go into that. And I watched it again. No. I watched it again disaster. This afternoon. Before we went
only
out.
Only twice?
I've only watched it once.
In case you haven't noticed, if you haven't noticed my blog, I've been rather busy getting stuff back.
I saw the picture.
Yeah, so we've got a rather important thing happening tomorrow morning, so we've got to get ready for that. I've been packing bags and it's, yes.
Do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
Yes, it's definitely a boy or a girl.
Yay!
I can think of a couple of names
if it's a boy. It's got all the right bits in all the right place, that's all we care about. Mm. But yeah, to go back, thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it's one of the best Capaldi ones we've had so far. And I think I can see why it was shown at the time it was. And obviously, I think they did it deliberately to you got Strictly coming back in again. It's interesting, they've over here, we've had the omnibus on the Sunday afternoon two put together. I think it's possibly because of people are going to be watching the rugby. We'll have the same next week as England are playing the next two Saturday nights. Quite. But really enjoyed it. Very good episode. Yeah.
Debbie.
I enjoyed it very much, thoroughly, I used to really, really enjoy Moffat stuff. I've said this before, I'm saying it again. But now I find it so predictable that I was very unutterably grossed out by Davros being nice and slimy nice.
It was false.
I was terrified of the fact that he was holding the doctor's hand. I was like, get away from him, you're too close. He's going to do something, don't do it. All the way through that, I think Tom got very fed up with me shouting at the TV. But I knew that there was a double, triple, quadruple, whatever bluff coming. I know that you know that I know that you know that I know you're going to do it. And I was like, please don't do this. Don't do this. I don't need it. You know, just... Don't always have them double bluffing.
I have a funny feeling the girls are going to be ganging up on Moffat. Carry on, Debbie.
It's becoming too much of an obvious ploy.
It always has been.
I know, but it's always happening now. Because, yeah, I know the Doctor is always wily and flying by the seat of his pants and always believes he can win. That's the whole premise, the whole idea of the Doctor. But I just find that Moffat is just... He was bringing something so new with Davros, and those scenes were utterly amazing and terrifying. When he opened his eyes, I was just like, he can't do that. He surely can't do that. He's got no eyes. Why is he opening them? You know, and it was, I was suitably freaked out. And I think I haven't let Isla watch this one yet, but I think she might be all right with that bit.
I think she will.
She doesn't know who Davros really is. You know, she doesn't have the whole, she's not grown up with him yet.
I'll show her Genesis of the Daleks then.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to.
Six episodes.
I loved the episode. I loved Missy. She was hysterical. especially with the pointy stick. That was brilliant.
That's pointed stick.
Having Clara in, I was really upset because of the way he was acting when the Dalek opened, and Clara's there with the stuff in her head, and he's like looking at her so devastated. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, essence of 10 there, you know, he was like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I was like, ah, she's stuck for life. And then suddenly she's running through with her hair perfectly done behind the doctor.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? What? Huh?
You know, you've gone picky person, you.
You know, it's like,
how picky is that, Kirby?
Very picky.
That was more. I had no problem with that.
Obviously not.
I had a problem with that because I thought, you know, they were going to do a bit more with that.
It's a woman thing, isn't it? Well, her hair was perfect after running down a corridor.
They've made so much of it hurting, and nobody knows what it's like to be removed from it. And then they just segue off into them running through past
Prime. You don't know they're not going to address that in the future.
You know?
Yeah, but it's going to come up later. You know it's going to come up.
I know, but it was...
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Oh, this was
too abrupt.
The best Capaldi episode.
Thank you.
And... I'm going to watch them both together before the end.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it as an omnibus.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to seeing it as an omnibus. It's like a movie,
really,
isn't it?
I really enjoyed it.
Hmm. But, hang on, geez, that's a U-turn.
No, I enjoyed it, I'm saying. But my problem was that I can now predict everything that's going to happen. I like to be surprised. And I'm not being surprised by Moffat anymore.
Okay, fortunately, Moffat isn't writing every story.
Yeah, I know, but my favourite ones of the past by him, Far and Away, Blink, and Are You My Mummy, you know.
No, I'm not, no.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic, but I just find he's always going back to the Daleks, and I remember the Daleks being a menace that happened once every now and then, and now it's happening every series.
Yeah, but they were a bit more menacing in this story.
I suppose so, but I know they have to now, but, you know, it's like, come on. You know, there were so many other wonderful monsters, you know, just...
The monsters?
Yeah, them as well. But, yeah, that was top, and I can't wait to see next week. Good old-fashioned running through corridors underwater, you know.
Spaceship under siege.
It looks like Titanic ghosts and things. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
I think that I'm really hoping that's a classic episode, I hope.
Well, I thought this was quite classic.
It's the next week's is written by a friend of the show, Toby Whithouse.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, good. I'll have a word with him about that in a minute. Right then.
Curious Omelette, I think, sums up how I felt it.
Okay, stand by, everybody.
Mary!
When Mary's done, I have a couple more things.
I bet you do. Here's Mary.
Well, I've got this reputation, don't I?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I liked the second half much more than the first half. The first half had a lot of things that really bothered me.
I feel a butt coming on.
Second half... as Deb and Andy were saying, it's such a romp, and I loved Missy through the whole thing.
Yeah.
She's just a joy. She doesn't wear thin on me, but I see, you know, on the internet, a lot of people commenting, I don't get rid of her now. You know, she's tiresome and all that, but I don't find it that way. I think that Michelle Gomez does an amazing job with Missy. And what else? And I love still that Clara is in the background. She's not the main character anymore. So I like her again.
Yes.
I mean, her gullibility stretches my believability a bit. You know, after Missy behaves the way she does, I don't know why Clara keeps following her around and falling for everyone.
Because I think Missy is a route back to the Doctor.
Yeah. And I would say that if we're talking comparative doctors, that Capaldi seems a lot like Eccleston to me at this point, with this particular one, in that he acts a little crazy at times, you know, which is surprising, and he's threatening at times. And he's absolutely, you know, you want to hug him and embrace him at times. You know, so that's how I always felt about Eccleston, was that he always kind of kept me off balance as to what he was going to say or do next. And that's how I feel Capaldi, as the Doctor, is behaving in this two-parter. So I like that. I like this Doctor a lot more. The one thing that kind of made me crazy and made me think, oh my God, this is where the casual viewer is probably turning this episode off, is the long, overly long scene between the Doctor and Davros, when Davros starts to, you know, show us his real eyes, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is like just too far.
I didn't realize how long that scene was. So I thought it was, the fact that I didn't think that.
Davros, well, and now, oh, I want to see you with my own eyes. And oh, I want to see a sunset. I'm thinking, oh, can we drag this out more? I'm sure we can. On the one hand, I'm celebrating that we're getting two-parters, which allows them to develop a story over a little bit more time. But, oh, my Lord, we're really dragging it out over this part here. And if I were not hanging in there waiting, you know, for the double bind to happen, I probably would have shut it off at that point because it was just boring me to tears to watch that. But, you know, and that makes it sound like I didn't like it. But I did. I liked it a lot, much more than the first half.
Is it the best Capaldi story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Murder on the Orient Express, I really liked from last season.
Don't you mean Mummy on the Orient Express?
Any other story last season. But this one so far, if this is the direction that Capaldi's Doctor is going, I like it. And I'm in.
Brilliant. That was good then, isn't it? Everyone.
Master?
Yes.
Master?
Yes.
Master. Okay, two things. First of all, my youngest daughter, Mary, has said that she thinks that there's going to be a connection coming up with Christmas and River coming back. She thinks that she has this theory that because the Doctor has now gotten rid of his screwdriver, that's now how River gets her screwdriver.
Ooh.
And that's going to happen in Christmas.
Okay.
And secondly, I did have one quibble with this story, and that's the whole business about the reason the Doctor left Gallifrey was this hybrid Dalek Time Lord nonsense. Absolute nonsense. We saw months ago when we saw the Daleks, the Doctor had no idea what Daleks were at that time as the First Doctor.
True. And, very true.
So there is no Dalek Time Lord hybrid business.
Yeah, I didn't buy that for a second either.
That didn't happen though, did it? It didn't happen.
Mm-mm.
That was just a bluff.
Maybe.
Well, there's no maybe about it. It was a bluff. Anyway,
both Davros and Missy say something about it.
That was before the bluff was revealed.
All right. Yes, master.
Let's do feedback.
Beep.
Hello to everyone.
Oh, he's a bit quiet.
Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood.
I can't hear it.
With my feedback for the
turn him up.
Season 9, episode 2 of Doctor Who, The Witch is Familiar. I'm just going to speak in broad strokes. Not really going to go into details. Really enjoyed it.
That's awful. Sorry, Adam.
I cannot hear it at all.
Double cross.
You're talking over it. Not really surprising, is it?
It was a little bit too clever for its own good, but you know it worked.
Well, you'll have to wait. I'm sorry, Patrick. It's them lot, not me.
Davros crying.
Honestly, Patrick, I'm so sorry. Is this what I have to put up?
Right. You're playing it through any different method of. You just have to lump it. That is the way the sound is. I can't. Hang on. Where's my phone gone? I've got no light in this room. I can't see a blimmin' thing.
Turn on the lights.
The lights.
Open your eyes.
Hey, who turned the lights out?
Yeah, open your real eyes.
Turn out the lights.
Yeah.
Hey, turn out the lights.
Right, let's try again. Sorry, this is the only time I'm going to play it again. So apologies, Patrick. Patrick, take two.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for the Season 9, Episode 2 of Doctor Who, The Witch is Familiar. I'm just going to speak in broad strokes, not really going to go into details. I really enjoyed it. It was a good completion of the two-parter. The whole, you know, double cross between Davros and the Doctor was a little bit too clever for its own good, but, you know, it worked in the end. I did like the whole Davros crying and drawing the Doctor in. I kind of knew Davros was really up to something, but the scene was good and the acting was good, so that was very good. Again, speaking generally, just the way how Clara was when she was inside the Dalek, it kind of reminded me of, you know, how we first saw her in her first appearance of Doctor Who, and I'm kind of wondering if that's how they're going to, how she's going to leave. She's somehow going to come full circle. and be, you know, the impossible girl, you know, in that Dalek at the end. I don't know. I think that's going to happen. Who knows, though?
That'd be cool.
You never know with Moffat what he's got up his sleeve. But other than that, all around, Missy was great again. She's been great so far. And, you know, just when you start to like her, she shows you that she is definitely evil. And her intentions are never really good in the end. So I think that's good. And I wonder what her brilliant idea was at the end, how she kind of got out of the Daleks about to exterminate her. So I'm sure we'll find out down the line. Anyway, and again, great episode. Loved it. Enjoyed it. These first two have been great. Looks like we got a Base Under Siege episode coming up next. No standard Doctor Who scenario. So hopefully they you know, write a good story for it. And we'll see. Anyway, have a good week, guys.
Thank you, Patrick, and I apologize again for my rather annoying colleagues.
I could actually hear it this time.
Could you now?
It was better, but it wasn't brilliant.
No, yeah, stop
better,
it.
But not brilliant, yeah.
Everyone's a critic. I do apologize, Patrick.
Yes,
don't let
we
them,
are.
Don't let them put you off writing back into the show or even recording again. Take no notice of them.
The Witch is Familiar. Wow. Wasn't that a rollercoaster ride of emotions, excitement, and, well, just sheer brilliance.
Yay!
Well done, yeah. Mr. Moffat, I must say. After having a week to digest last week's story, and my remarks of it being like a more of a Marmite episode being okay, I've had a chance to digest it, and it turns out that I actually liked it.
Yay!
But
yay.
I found it which is familiar.
Well done, Billy.
Far better. What a brilliant episode. I found myself being engaged in the story in a way I've not felt with Doctor Who for such a long time. I was watching it and I wasn't even conscious of the clock. Quite often that is the case with much of, well, let's say, recent stories, I guess. But I figure with Daleks, Davros, and with a Skaro landscape, and with a good plot, which this was, you can hardly go wrong. This is how I like Doctor Who, focused, without any distracting and complicated subplots. It's this type of story which caused me to fall in love with the show back in 1972 when I was a young lad. I thought the scenes between the Doctor and Davros were quite good, in fact brilliant. And doesn't Julian Bleach do a great job performing as Davros in this story?
Yes, he does.
In fact, I go as far as saying this, that I think, in my opinion, that he's on a par with Michael Wisher from Genesis.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with that.
And I loved that when they're having that dialogue between the Doctor and Davros, how Davros seemed to soften towards the Doctor and open his eyes and so on. That particular scene, yet Davros had a different evil agenda. But he was using that persona to try and win the Doctor for his own good, for his own evil. It only adds to the venomancy and hatred towards the Doctor that he had in a cruel and warped way, I thought that was quite good. A few funny lines in there with the Doctor in Davros's chair. He says to the Daleks, "Anyone for Dodgems?" Great stuff.
Yeah.
And my Missy, quote. When she tossed in Clara in the big hole there.
He what?
After Clara says, "I wonder how deep it is. We need a stone." Missy says, "Yes, we do," and pushed her in. Quite funny, really. I'm halfway through watching this episode the second time, and I'm having a hard time to think of anything bad about it. In fact, I think it's great.
Thank you.
Needless to say that The Witch is Familiar. I absolutely loved it. Thank you, Mr. Moffat. But I would love it if you bring back the Sea Devils. Take care.
Yes. Thank you very much, Billy Kirkbright. And you were impressed with that, weren't you, Andy?
Oh, yeah. I thought he did very well. No, I think he said a lot of sense. Could hear it clearly as well, this one. But, yeah, Billy talked a lot of sense, I believe.
Well, we've got some more feedback. This is from Adam Saunders. Adam Saunders, once upon a time, left us some sort of rather negative feedback on iTunes. But I think we might have redeemed ourselves since then. I think the key to it was kicking Alicia off the show. Right, he says, actually, shall I send this to Debbie? Because she's much better at doing impressions of Adam Saunders than me.
No!
Yes! Yes, I'm going to send it to Debbie! All right, let's see if I can find you. Where are you, Deb?
Right here.
Yeah, I know that. I'm trying to get the message, you thingy doodar up here. Yeah, there we are. Debbie Melrose, where are you? Oh, there you are. There we go.
Around here the corner, comes. I thought.
Here it comes.
So just lean out the window and hand it over.
There we go. This, yeah. This is Debbie Melrose reading Adam Saunders.
Hang on, just coming up.
Pardon? That's not what. That's not.
That's
in the
what
message.
She said.
Literally just coming. Here we
I
go.
Beg your pardon?
That's what she
that's
said.
What she said.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Hello, hello, 20 megabyters. I thought I would wait to send in feedback until I had watched both episodes, as I felt I could only judge a two-parter after seeing both parts. I will keep this brief, as I'm writing this on my break at work.
Ooh.
So let's get to it. This was the best opening to a series since Series 5. The callbacks to classic and new Who throughout made my little nerdy heart swell with glee. So many great quotable lines, and the performances were all of a very high standard. I truly believe we have the best Doctor, best companion, and best Master the show has seen since it was brought back. Michelle Gomez embodies the Master perfectly. She's unhinged, funny, and downright evil. You can never tell what she's planning. The episode itself had so many scenes that will stick in the mind. The Doctor entering with an electric guitar and a tank, Colony Sarf gliding around on his creepy Segway, and the gruesome... mythically inspired hand mines. The last two are some of the best Moffat monsters since the Weeping Angels and the Vashta Narada. All in all, these episodes were great. I really loved them. I've watched them 3 times each so far. I could go on and on and on, but I have to get back to work. I loved it all. Hope to keep regularly feeding back and with more detail next time. Kind regards.
Yes, and we hope you can continue to keep on regularly feeding back. Isn't that right, Debbie? So as you can... read more Adam Saunders feedback in the future. What do you reckon?
Hope so.
Well, that's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
That's what I like to hear. Well, there is more, but I've lost the page. Where's it gone?
Have we heard from Matthew?
Matthew? Ian? You're having a laugh, aren't you? Have we heard from Matthew?
Ian?
No. Hang on, one step at a time. Who's that phone going off?
That's my phone.
Is it? Well, tell him to shut up.
My daughter just landed after a week of being in Greece. She just landed at her home in Chicago.
She slid right in.
So she's letting me know she's home.
Right.
Greece is the word, it's the word.
Yes. Right then, Mrs. Melrose. I've got some feedback from Jeff Waddle. And you must pause at the bit where the sort of... There's some capital letters. You must pause just before that bit for editing reasons.
Nesta, he's not allowed to give feedback because he doesn't watch it.
Oh, leave him alone. Andy, can you tell Kirby to leave Jeff Waddle alone, please?
Yeah, leave poor Jeff. I mean, you know, he's got enough problems of his own, so leave him alone.
He did state quite clearly he was going to continue listening to this show. So shut your face. Right then. Go on, Debbie. Sorry.
I will pause at the appropriate moment.
Thank you.
Now, let's get this straight. I was utterly disappointed with The Magician's Apprentice to the extent I gave up. My mate, however, said I'm enjoying the next one, so me and him watched it, not on transmission, but still. And I'm glad he made me.
Good pause, good pause. Here we go.
It wasn't perfect.
Hang on. There you go.
But it was pretty darn good. I will never like Clara. I haven't liked her from the start, partly due to the writing for her and partly due to the actress. And I certainly don't like Missy. But what I will say is Missy here was much more like the Master than what Sim ever was. The whole thing felt more like Doctor Who. But honestly, you could have kept 5 minutes from last week's episode and added it to this to make an hour episode, and it would have been so much better. A two-hander, that's what she said, between Capaldi and Davros, with flashbacks to what went before, and this would have been one of the best stories yet. There was absolutely no need for the unit scenes last week or the cringeworthy tank scene. In short, I wish someone could edit things and tell Moffat when he is out of line. It's out of control.
And while there are good ideas in there, it is buried underneath so much fan service, it's almost completely hidden. And it may just be me, but the sound on the episodes has been screwed up for too long now. I can hardly understand a word Capaldi says, and when anyone speaks in a low voice, it's completely lost. They should have sorted this by now. There's no other programmes that I have this difficulty with, so it must just be this specific show. Sort it out, BBC. P.S. I'm having a party when Clara is dead.
There you
That's
go.
That's not really nice, is it?
Brilliant feedback from Jeff Waddle.
Well, I do sort of agree with him on the sound issues because they play, quite often the music plays way too loudly in them.
I'm delighted by that bit of feedback. I think quite surprised. There's a bit of a U-turn.
I am apologizing to him online.
Are you? Why?
Because I was being very, very flippant as he was. I thought he had not watched it and he was still commenting about it.
Mm-hmm. I'd just like to say to Jeff that the opinions of Mr. Kirby Butler Sloan do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Really?
Character options Wait for are to make Monty a 5-inch figure of Mary Poppins or someone. The BBC is going to replace the Great British Bake Off today with a repeat of Doctor Who. I think there will be compliance. There's a total eclipse of the moon on Sunday or Monday.
When?
It's not an egg.
About 2:10 to an
Yes,
morning.
It is an egg.
The Witch is Familiar by Stephen Moffat. Near enough. Daleks have predictive text voices, and Clara cannot override it. If there is room for Ian Chesterton inside a Dalek, then there is room for Clara.
Yes.
And Zoe.
I said that.
The regeneration energy has to be shared by every Dalek on Skaro. How would that work out?
Not for them.
The song once gave regeneration energy to the Doctor. Colony South would have to get up early to outwit the Doctor and get his skirts on. Kidneys. Snake and kidneys. Missy hung Clara upside down. She was careful to wrap the rope around her so her skirt stayed in place.
Yes.
It is a family show. Where did she get the rope? Why would Daleks have rope? They can't tie knots and would be rubbish Boy Scouts. The rope would have come in useful, but that would have spoiled the joke of pushing Clara down the hole to see how deep it is. Humans sometimes treat others as subhuman. Missy treats Clara as subgallifreyan. She's going to eat Clara if she does not prove her intelligence. Missy offers to swap Clara for the Doctor. That makes no sense, as the Daleks have no use for Clara if they don't have the Doctor. What's brown and sticky? A stick? Or an ex-Dalek? A Dalek gets carjacked in a sewer by the slime Daleks and self-destructs. The slime Daleks not dying reminds me of Torchwood Miracle Day. The Doctor having a cup of tea and the Daleks rebuilding their planet might be homage to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The Master went into the sewer, like in Curse of Fatal Death. That might be Moffat's homage to himself.
Yes.
There is a tank in medieval Essex. Unless the Doctor remembered to take it back.
Yes.
He had no ammunition or spare fuel, though. The US science fiction series Babylon 5 made a point of a dying character wanting to see the sun come up. Instead of a gun, the Doctor could have brought young Davros a box of gloves to put on the handmine so they could not see him. It pays to improve your vocabulary. The Doctor saves Clara by making sure the Daleks know the word mercy. In the end, Davros would be killed by the slime Daleks.
I'm getting better. You're not fooling anyone, you know. You think I'll go for a walk?
Bye for now.
That's Ian Kirk's longest bit of feedback ever.
Yes.
Brilliant stuff. Debbie, you've gone very quiet.
Have I?
Yes. I got a message off you saying, booked my room, to which I replied, we've changed hotels. Which is, of course, a lie.
And that's why I sent back, lol.
Lol. Yeah. Hang on. Sorry, I do apologise to listeners for any expletive I may have uttered in the last minute or so during Ian's feedback, simply because I opened the door up, the dog barked, and I called the dog a dickhead, because he was being stupid, because he heard Ian.
Now you've reiterated what you said.
Yes. Well, he is a bit of a dickhead. That's Magic, by the way. Remember Magic? Used to be a dog on the show.
Yes. Flappy ears.
Yes. Still got flappy ears.
Oh, you mean that doggone show?
Pardon?
Even Tom laughed.
Now it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Oh no!
And the first question goes to Kirby.
Master.
When my page loads. It's an old iPad. And it's taking a bit of time to load the page. But eventually it gets there. Right, the first question goes to Kirby. And that Master. Is, how many android assassins were stalking the Doctor in Missy's story about him?
I know.
50? I'll give you that one. It's about 50, but it's near enough a correct answer. Next one is for Mary.
Okay.
The woman who didn't score particularly well on episode one.
So you talk about nothing.
Yeah. Hopes are a little bit higher for this particular
looking to improve here.
And here it is. Why was Clara tied up? No, don't ring the phone.
Oh, shit.
What's going on with that phone?
Why was Clara tied up?
Why was Clara tied up?
Because Missy might go hunting, and if they don't find anything, she winks at Clara. I guess Clara is...
Yes.
There's a very long version of the answer, which was simply, in case there's nothing to hunt.
Yep.
Well, there you go. Debbie.
Yes.
Where did the Doctor get the teleport thingy?
Oh.
Likey.
Yeah.
I know.
Pardon?
Ouch.
No, I don't know.
I do.
Apparently
what?
Kirby
something
knows.
She doesn't know?
Go on in, Kirby.
Yeah, how'd you admit?
Go on in, Kirby.
You?
Kirby.
Am I allowed to answer?
Yes.
He stole it from an android.
Oh, God, yes. It's just so we do. Oh, flipping heck.
Yeah, I've written it down.
Yeah, and I have. It's too obvious, wasn't it?
Andy.
That's me.
What did the Doctor fall into in Missy's story?
I know.
We fell into the vampire monkeys.
Essentially correct. Enough to get the 2 points. The actual answer was he fell into a nest of vampire monkeys, but I would be very unkind if I
really
didn't
funny.
Give you the point
really
for that
funny.
One. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What was Clara's answer to what happens when the Doctor assumes he's going to die?
I know.
Ooh, I know that one too.
What?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Oh, for goodness sake. What was Clara's answer to what happens when the Doctor assumes he's going to die?
What happens when the Doctor assumes he's going to die is they happen. We do.
That's what I was looking for.
Yay.
Got there in the end, didn't we?
Every time.
Yes. Mary.
Yes.
What was the difference with Dalek sewers, according to Missy, and the script?
What is the difference? Oh, because they're slightly alive?
Bing.
I've gone past the ding.
After last week. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What did Missy say when Clara threatened her with a pointed stick after she was pushed down the hole? You won't get this one.
Does every miner needs a canary?
And Andy thinks he knows.
Is that about 20 feet?
Woohoo!
Wow.
What a bloody... Play the tune.
What sort of puppy I'm in misery? Oh, okay, thank you. Yes.
Sorry, 2 points to me.
If you're going to kill someone, kill a prop. Do it. Don't just say it.
If anybody comes up with another wrong answer, they'll start getting points deducted.
I haven't got any.
No, that's true. Well, just to give points to me. Every wrong answer will give a point to me. I'm going to give myself a point for that one because it was wrong as well. Thank you very much. Right, the answer, so I suggest don't interrupt, was Poppet. Oh, Poppet, she said. She pushes her down Clara threatens her with a pointed stick, and she says, oh, Poppet. Please pay attention when watching these stories. Right, the next question goes to Andy.
Okay, yep.
What is the same as the Dalek word for sewer?
Graveyard.
Oh, my bell went a bit.
The ding is dying.
Yes.
Yeah, your ding is dying.
Essentially, right. Well, then, at this point, we can have a score check. In last place, with no points, is Mrs. Melrose.
Yay!
What?
In second place, with 4 points each, it's Mary, Andy, and me. And in the lead with 5 points, it's Kirby.
Yay.
Whose question this is?
Master.
What is Colony... Start again. What is Colony Saf's job title?
Head of security.
No.
Yeah. I'll give
no.
you a point for that. Not quite right. Andy, for the other
head
point.
Of personal security.
Hang on. It's a point there and yeah. Yeah. A point for Andy. The next question goes to Mary. What level were Clara and Missy on when Missy set off the alarm?
I know.
Level 13.
No.
Unfortunately, that is nearly right. I'll give you a point for that.
They say intruder on level 13.
Go on, Andy. The other point.
It's something else, not quite the
full answer. Go on in, Andy.
It's lower level 13.
Yeah, so we get a point for Mary and a point for Andy. Quite fair. Debbie.
Yeah.
What member of her family did Missy start to refer to?
Big pardon?
Pardon? I'm giving you the point. If you don't get this right, you're going to get
giving
get
her a ding
2 points
before
deducted.
She's even answered.
Yeah, yes. And we didn't hear the question.
I said, listen then, instead of talking over me. Here we go again. Here's the question again. The listeners heard it. What member of her family did Missy start to refer to?
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't hear what Debbie said, and I heard Andy
Debbie
go,
answered
yep,
correctly.
Yep.
Daughter. Yeah. I said daughter.
And he said, yep, over it again. But yes, that's correct, Debbie. Yes. Eventually.
Yay.
Right, Andy.
Yep.
Debbie, remember to say yep over his answer so I can't hear it.
Yep.
Right, then.
Yep.
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 What did Missy say the Dalek Mush wanted to steal?
Your motor.
Pardon?
Your motor.
I'll give you a point for that. It's not quite what she said in the script. Anybody for the what answer?
Was it your ride?
No.
No, it was your motor.
It was the motor.
Yeah, it was your motor.
It said the Dalek's motor, actually, but yeah, I'll give you that one.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm being probably a little bit too picky there. Yeah. Right, yeah. Kirby.
Who?
You.
Who?
Who?
Yep.
Master.
Why yep. did the Doctor give up his sonic screwdriver?
Oh, I know. I know.
I know too.
Well, good. All you guys.
Kirby, come on.
I don't know. I'm not getting the connection. I'm
point
sorry.
To me, right? Who said I know first? Wasn't it Debbie?
Debbie did.
It was Debbie. Go on, Debbie.
Has the old one ruined the line of the jacket?
No, that's wrong as well. I know.
Don't get any points for it, Mary, but if you really want to, and I won't take the point if
sorry,
you get it wrong.
Mary.
Bad memories.
Correct, but you don't get any points.
Oh. Okay.
Right, Andy.
Oh, okay. I got it written down. I think it was, oh, okay.
Andy.
Yep.
What did Davros compare compassion to? It's only gone very quiet.
A cancer.
Dug that one out of the bag. Right, so the score so far are In last place with 2 points, it's Mrs. Melrose. In fourth place with 5 points, it's Mary. In third place with 6 points, it's Kirby. Oh, and me. That's essentially second place. And in the lead with 10 points, it's Andy.
Did you see I only had 4 points?
5.
Oh, that's right. I didn't get anything for that last one.
Good try. Right then. Kirby's question.
Master.
What was the first thing Clara said in a Dalek voice once she was shut in?
Oh, yeah.
This is a bit weird.
Point to me. Anybody?
No.
Oh, good. Another point to me, then. The answer was... Oh, I've lost my page. Oh, fine, I think.
Okay, that's a bit weird,
Right. Mary.
Yes?
How does a Dalek reload?
You're told to take this out of the thing.
Were told to take this out.
Well, I haven't, so what's the answer?
Well, you think it's when they say exterminate, but it isn't.
Yeah.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Where did Missy say she once fought the Dalek Supreme, or even the Supreme Dalek?
Yes.
Oh. I know.
Oh God. Neverbold.
Pardon?
Is it Neverbold, or was that when she's talking about the Doctor?
It was wrong. I can see where you're going with that one, but it was wrong. Andy?
Slopes of the Nether Vault.
Oh, sorry, just knocked my Dalek, my TARDIS pencil.
I misheard it. I said Neverbold.
Yes, you did misheard it, so it was wrong.
Neverbold. It's
the slopes of the Nether Vault.
For Andy is a point for Andy, and a point for me. Right, Andy.
That was rubbish.
Pardon? What was rubbish?
Well, she didn't say slopes. She said that she fought him on the Never Vault.
No, she said slopes.
She said the slopes of the Never Vault. Exactly that line.
Spell what you're saying, because each of you is saying something different for the last...
The slopes of the Never Vault.
I thought I heard Never Bold, but it was Never Vault.
Yes, Never Vault.
Never Vault.
Subtitles in the...
I heard
Never
Vault. The subtitles said Never Vault.
That's because it was the Never Vault. Well. Yeah,
that's right.
But subtitles can be wrong.
On this occasion, they aren't. Right, whose question was that last one?
Mine.
Right, so the next one goes to Andy.
Yep.
What made the Doctor laugh? No, it wasn't that.
I mean, that could be anything.
When he was with Davros, what made the Doctor laugh?
Oh, when he said you are not a good doctor.
Oh, that was lovely. That was a good line. Yeah.
That was an easy question, but yeah, I got to the end, but blind.
Yes.
That was
an easy question. Yes, right, Kirby. This is the last, rounds of questions. So before we say the last round of questions, the scores are: in last place with 2 points, it's Debbie. In fourth place with 6 points, it's Kirby. In third place with 7 points, it's Mary. In second place with 9 points, it's me. And in the lead with 13 points, it's Andy. So
I thought I'd do better having watched it 4.5 times.
I've only watched it once, and I'm doing about as good as I thought I would.
Right. Kirby.
There have been times you've won after watching only once. Come on.
That's true. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Kirby.
Master.
What was the Doctor's first word for Davros?
First word for death? What?
I think I...
Pass on, go ahead.
I know this one.
Hang on. That's for Kirby. Therefore,
I think
Andy said I know first. Andy?
Is it get out?
No.
And that therefore deletes the points for... that could have gone to Debbie. What was the answer, Debbie?
Moron.
Correct.
Oh, God, yeah.
Then it was sewers.
Yeah.
Right, Mary.
Yes.
What was Missy's passing contact with Davros?
it was excellent.
So, what was Missy's passing contact with Davros?
It was so funny.
I beg your pardon, Mary.
I didn't understand the question.
What was Missy's passing contact with Davros?
What did she do to him?
Yeah.
Wow. The rest of us all know.
Yeah.
I know too.
I know she shoots the cables down, but I don't know what
she did to Davros.
Too late. Right, who said I know first?
Andy.
He pokes him in the eye.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, you know, I think part of it is the way that Adam is asking the questions, because
everybody else seems to be able to get them. So Kirby,
yes,
point deducted.
The other three of us all got it straight away.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
Another point for that.
No.
No.
I was joking about Kirby's point deducted, by the way. I'm not that mean. Right then. Whose question is it now? That was Mary's question. This is Debbie's question.
Okay.
What was the last thing the Doctor said to the Supreme Dalek?
Your sewers are revolting.
Anybody?
No.
Another point for me, then. The answer is same old, just the Doctor and Clara Oswald in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And the last question goes to Andy.
Mm-hmm.
What was Missy's last line?
Oh, I know.
I think I know too.
She's there with the Dalek. Flipping heck! It's like I've got a great idea. It's something like
that.
Give
you a point for that. Anybody want to get a bit more accurate?
Do you know what? I've just had a very clever idea.
That's exactly right. So I'll give you 2 points.
Anyone think of the Italian job when they saw that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, right.
No.
Okay.
Because I've never seen it.
You've never seen the Italian job.
You've got to watch it. We're
talking the original, the proper version.
Yeah, the Michael Caine version, yes.
It's an all-time classic.
You can't
film.
Not
it's
watch
Noel
the Italian
Coward
job.
In it. Michael Caine.
Benny Hill,
it's a cracker.
It's a comedy?
It's a comedy. But
yes,
it's very,
it's so
very
oh,
good.
I was thinking it was like a gangster film or something.
Yeah, that's been out recently. Yeah.
No. That's the one with Stallone. Is it Stallone?
There was a new version of it.
No, it was Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Yes,
no, the original version from what, 68, I think.
Yeah, there was no need to remake it. The original version is perfect.
Travesty that you go, both of you, Kirby and Mary.
Yes, they remake
it. I will.
The original.
Definitely look it up. Yeah,
it's one of the classic British films. It really is.
Right, can I finish off the quiz now?
Yeah.
Okay, right. The final scores in this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. In last place,
I didn't.
With 4 points was Debbie. In fourth place, with 6 points, was Kirby. In third place,
I'm not anywhere near the bottom.
With
wow.
7 points, is Mary.
That's what she said.
In second place, with 14 points, is me. And the winner this week, with 15 points, is Andy.
Yay! There you go. Some of my charge you proud of.
Hello there, this is Colin Baker, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And doesn't make... I'll do it again.
I thought it might be worth a try, bringing Isabella into the show. Another test run for her. And she's going to tell us about Doctor Who as she saw it. Now, there was 2 episodes we had over the last couple of weeks that amounted to one story. So... what do you remember of the story? Tell us about the story as you saw it.
What I remember on the first episode, I think they were in the wartime, and this man, he saw a little boy running around. He tried to catch up with him, but they both stopped, and then the man looked at his... around there, he could feel something touching him. There was a hand on him. But then he moved, but then he fell down to the ground.
That's the story, is that? That's true.
No, it's the first one.
That's the whole of the first episode, just Coleman.
No.
Yeah, go on.
I'm telling about it.
Sorry. So I'm not come to an end.
No. The boy was really scared that then the doctor showed up and he passed him a screwdriver and... Well, at the moment, that's what I can remember that much, but I forgot what else happened now.
What's the whole story? You can't remember the rest of the story?
I remember only bits of it.
Maybe you're going into sort of too much detail into the story.
Yes, I am, right.
What's the next bit, then?
The next bit was... Clara met up with Missy.
Yes.
And Missy kept, disintegrating people.
Yes.
And then they were trying to find where the doctor was. And he was in a medieval time and kept on saying, dude. Davros's assistant,
yes.
He found the doctor and he took Missy and Clara with the doctor and the assistant, and they went to Skaro.
Yes.
And that's when it all started.
Sorry.
Davros is dying, the assistant said, and... He remembered what the doctor did when he was a child. I've forgotten where Clara and Missy were. In which room? I think they were in a room with the Daleks. Missy got exterminated, and so did Clara. And then the doctor was really upset because he saw what happened. And that's what I remember on episode one.
Okay, moving on then.
Episode two. I remember that the doctor went back in time to try and save Davros, and he was holding one of the Daleks exterminator things that when they exterminate you. He was holding it up.
The gun.
Yes, the gun. Yes, he was there. But the thing is, we didn't know who he was going to kill, the monsters or Davros. Because Davros was the creator of the Daleks, but he was in trouble.
Mm.
Yeah, and Clara and Missy did survive because they had a time vortex on them.
Vortex manipulator.
And Clara was hanging upside down, and Missy was testing her to see if she knows the doctor well.
Okay.
And they managed to, Missy and Clara, and they found a cave, and it turned out it was a Dalek graveyard.
Okay.
And Clara and Missy set off the Dalek alarm in there. A Dalek came out. Missy handcuffed Clara to the camera, and the Dalek came up to Clara, Missy, just kept trying to kill it, and she kept saying that she's a Dalek murderer. then she took the Dalek's brain out.
It was the brain. It was the actual Dalek creature.
Oh.
Sorry about the clock.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, and Clara got inside, pretended to be the Dalek and pretended to take Missy as a prisoner, try and save the Doctor. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Davros is having, well, quite a good time, actually. Yeah. But it turned out to be a trick. Davros tricked the Doctor by helping him.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah. Sorry, carry on.
By helping him. And tried to take all the Doctor's power.
Regeneration energy.
Yeah, regeneration energy. And so Davros could stay alive.
Yes.
And then Missy got into the room and just went, "Hey, good morning." And he kept asking where was Clara, and she said, "I'm fine, thanks for asking." And I don't really remember that much. But then the Dalek graveyard, what happened was that in the underground world it came up into Scar, into the Dalek land thingy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and all the Daleks are dying.
Yes.
And then Clara came up, and Missy kept saying that Clara was dead, and Missy wanted the Doctor to kill Clara, but the thing is, he didn't know when the Dalek said mercy, he wouldn't know that a Dalek would never say mercy.
Right.
So, just then he opened in the inside the Dalek, and then he found Clara inside it, and then they defeated the Daleks.
Yes.
The end.
Thank you. So what did you think of this particular story?
I really liked it.
What did you like about it?
It's just that I'm quite happy that they brought Davros back into the story.
Well, what do you remember Davros from then?
Where?
You don't, do you?
No.
No. So it's interesting that you're happy that they brought Davros back, but you don't know
what episode he came for. He was the creator of the Daleks.
Yes, but you haven't seen him before in Doctor Who, have you?
No.
No.
I want to see him, though. You don't let me watch the episodes that much.
You do not want to watch them, because if I do the old Doctor Who episode,
I do
on,
want to watch
you would
them.
Get the iPad out and start playing on the iPad.
No, it was on the iPad.
Pardon?
It was on the iPad.
What was on the iPad?
The Doctor Who episodes.
You watched them with us.
The iPads were on the Doctor Who.
The iPads are on Doctor Who.
The Doctor Who is on the iPads. I remember once you gave me you gave me the iPad so I can watch Doctor Who on it.
Yeah, but you didn't actually do that.
Yeah, I did.
Move the microphone away from your mouth. Right, I saw a little preview of next week's story, and I seem to remember you saying that you're not going to watch it.
No, Mum said I'm not going to watch it. I want to watch it.
So how are you going to watch it then?
I don't have a clue.
Well, I think you should watch it.
Thank you.
But you shouldn't perhaps watch it at night time. But you probably will end up watching it at night time.
Good.
And you'll be going, "Oh, it's good. I can't go to bed." Yeah, you can look like that all you like. Actually, that'd be quite interesting to note, wouldn't it? How many of these questions you can get right?
Questions?
Don't feel pressured or anything.
No, you are pressuring me.
No, I said pressured.
Pressured me.
I'll ask a few of these questions from who you won't get this one.
Come on.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm still waiting for the patient load up.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm going to make a cup of tea as well. I'll have to do that in a minute.
I'll get this done
before Alicia comes down.
I've got to brush my teeth.
You've got to brush your teeth, yeah, because Alicia's in the bathroom. Right, there's question number one.
Yeah.
How many android assassins were stalking the Doctor in Missy's story?
Don't know, do you?
What?
How many android assassins were stalking the Doctor in Missy's story? You don't know, do you? No.
No.
Why was Clara tied up?
Because Missy was, like, testing her to see if she knows.
She was tied up because, in case there was nothing to hunt, excuse me.
Oh, right, okay.
Where did the Doctor get the teleport thingy? You don't know, do you?
No, I don't know that one.
You'd like to get one of these, right? The answer was he stole it from an android. What did the Doctor fall into in Missy's story?
He fell into...
Don't play with the microphone. A pit, a nest of vampire monkeys. What was Clara's answer to what happened when the Doctor assumed she's going to die? You won't get that one, it's we do. What was the difference with Dalek sewers, according to Missy, in the script?
That they rot.
No, they were alive. What did Missy say when Clara threatened her with a pointed stick after she was pushed down the hole? You won't get that one. So I write really difficult questions.
Why do you write...
Oh, pop it. What is the name of the Dalek word for sewer?
Graveyard.
Yes, it is! Well done. You got one right. I'm impressed with that one. That wasn't an easy question. So I'm impressed with you. Well done, you passed. But obviously you can't do this next week. Sorry, in 2 weeks' time.
Why?
Possibly next week. I don't know. Unless obviously you watch the story, because it's all about watching Doctor Who, isn't it, at the end of the day?
The thing is, I can't watch it because I've got school.
Not on Saturdays, you haven't.
Alright, I thought you meant on Monday.
No, we record on Sunday. You can't record Sunday because you're in bed. But you can record these little bits with me, can't you? Doesn't work. Nodding doesn't work on audio presentations. How many years have I been waiting for a replacement for Alicia?
Hello, I'm Colin Baker. You lucky people, are listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, the best podcast on the pod.
Yes, I like the picture you just shared, Debbie, about the TARDIS bookshelf. That's an excellent picture, that, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my little page, the TARDIS bookshelf.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that. In that case, I will, hang on, let me go and like that.
Oh, here
that.
We go. That was you were conspiring to plug that, weren't you?
No, I've never seen it.
I've been running that since the bookshelf appeared in the TARDIS because I was so enamoured of the bookshelf.
No, I never knew that was you, Deb. So yeah, I've just liked it. That's excellent.
Did you say enamoured?
Don't promote it very much, but occasionally
Debbie.
I share pictures from it.
Debbie,
that I found
did you say enamoured?
Yes.
Say it again.
Enamoured.
Do.
Enamoured.
That's awful.
What are we talking about anyway?
I shared a cartoon picture of the Doctor sat in Davros's chair drinking a cup of tea. Onto our page.
Yes.
Well done.
From my page.
I'm talking about Manamana and the Muppets. Apparently the Muppets are coming back to Sky. There's a new series coming up. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I like the Muppets.
I don't like the remake of Danger Mouse. That's not the same, but the Muppets
are
the same.
About an hour before we recorded, I was watching Danger Mouse with my youngest daughter on Netflix.
What, the new one or the old one?
No, it's the old one. Netflix,
the classic one.
Mm.
I love that. The one where they have to go and find the pipes. They're so brilliant.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who. I'm going to do sponsors now before we do news because I've got a little bit of a conflab. I suppose it's a bit of a conflab, but it's basically a message from Melinda saying that Lavazzi are bringing out some new line. So just not my TARDIS lunchbox again. My microphone is sitting on top of my TARDIS lunchbox, by the way.
Sorry. I get one of those.
What? What are you laughing for? Why are you laughing?
Lunchbox.
TARDIS lunchbox.
Is it bigger on the inside?
Oh. I wish it was. Not that funny.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It obviously
is. It really isn't.
I've had a few sherbets, it is funny.
And I've had a drink for a month. I've got no excuse.
Anyway, sorry, Melinda. Yes, Lavazzi have bought out some new products. They say that 4 new Doctor Who products will be available nationwide from Lavazzi in partnership with BBC Worldwide in the next 2 weeks, including the company's first foray into the new 2005 present revival.
So, the Pandorica Opens scarf is based on a painting by Vincent van Gogh.
I love that.
So there's going to be a scarf with that design, which is a beautiful design. So what else we got? In the Doctor Who Series 5 finale, Pandorica Opens, the bow tie wearing 11th Doctor was trapped by his greatest enemies, including the blah, 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 blah. So Lavazzi could make this detailed, digitally printed, 100% pure silk scarf. Debbie would be wanting one of those.
Of course I will.
And I bet you it's on sale when we go to the Doctor Who festival here in November. And it comes in a presentation box, which is ideal for Christmas, isn't it? Or adorned with foil-printed Doctor Who and BBC logos. And after the success of the 7th Doctor jumper and Paisley silk scarf, which I still do not have, I have the jumper but not the scarf, Lavazzi continues to cater for cosplaying Sylvester McCoy fans and snappy dressers with the 7th Doctor hanky, digitally printed in Italy. I didn't know the 7th Doctor had a hanky, actually.
Snappy dressers, I like that.
Did you know the 7th Doctor had a hanky? I wish we had Matthew on the show.
Yes, he does have a hanky.
Yes, he's in his breast pocket.
Yeah, he does.
Oh,
he gets out every now and then when things blow up.
That's what she said. Yeah.
Designed by Ken True, the BBC purchased about 20 red hankies to wrap around the Time Lord's Panama hat. What are you laughing at?
You said Time Lady.
Yeah, I did say that, didn't I? Why did I say that?
I don't know.
Spoilers.
Lavazzi's original screen-accurate replica of the 4th Doctor scarf remains a bestseller, but many keep that solely for cosplaying. I don't. I just wear it when it's cold in the winter. It's very, very warm. That's why the company has made a shorter version. So making a shorter version of the 4th Doctor scarf, which is 25 by 200 centimetres. It's perfect for showing off your fan credentials on a daily basis, which I do with the full-length scarf. So.
Yeah, since my co-worker made me a short one, I will be using that one this winter.
But if you're a short lady, I reckon that would be ideal. So I've got a friend at work, Eris, who's about 4'10". I reckon that length scarf, if she happened to be a Doctor Who fan, which she isn't, would be ideal if you also are an adult person of a short height. What else we got here? There was a fourth thing. I am also presented a gift box. The 4th Doctor knitted tie is made in Italy from 50% wool and 50% acrylic. I haven't been able to work out what the fourth item is, but if you go to lavazzi.co.uk, you'll sure to find out and see all the other amazing items they've got on sale. Whowon.co.uk, everybody.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
It's coming up to Christmas.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
It is, though. It is coming up to Christmas. Oh, doesn't matter how you try Christmas and deny it, but Christmas shop is on its way, as is River Song.
I've got Christmas stuff out in the shop.
Have you?
Horrible putting it out before Halloween.
Well, we've got some latest products, and Heroes and Monsters Collection, The Dangerous Book of Monsters, sounds interesting, Time Lord Fairy Tales, and the 2016 annuals out. Yes, the 2016 Doctor Who annual. £7.99 is available to purchase now at whowon.co.uk. Come on.
Is it whowon.co.uk?
I've just said it was that. What's the matter with you? You're deaf or something? Grief. Anyway, right. So that's our sponsors. And I think we better
lovely
move on
sponsors
to Doctor Who news. I'd love to see what the reaction was to this story, the general reaction. But says Doctor Who Legacy new releases. Apparently there's what is this Doctor Who Legacy thing anyway? Lisa, I don't know what that is. Debbie, you have to look that up because my eyes are too tired to read.
I'm having problems getting the pages up for some reason.
That's what she said. Anyway, right.
That's what she said.
Season premiere breaks records in the United States. Doctor Who Magician's Apprentice was Doctor Who's biggest ever premiere in the States.
Which means it's in imminent danger of being cancelled.
Yeah, maybe cancelled in America.
Oh, we don't.
Sorry,
want
I had to have a sip of lager because my throat's getting dry.
Jeff was saying that yesterday's episode was a million viewers down from last week.
Well, maybe he meant in the UK.
I think a lot.
He did. He did mean in the UK. It's just that...
No, it's 3 point something million. But I think like Jeff did and Billy did, people will watch it and go, actually, that was really good. And hopefully the figures, you know, the eventual figures...
Yeah, but they haven't added in all the people that watch it delayed yet, so I wouldn't worry too much about it. In America, the episode had 2 million viewers, with 1.1 million being aged between 18 and 49. So just falling in Kirby's age bracket there.
Huh? No.
No. They got some publicity photos.
I'm older than the show.
All right, be quiet.
Like the new products from Lavazzi is on there as
all
well.
Right, hang on, let me get... not there yet.
I'm sort of sporadically going in and out.
No, I'm going up the screen, which is familiar publicity photos I didn't get around to looking at. Now we've seen the episode, I can't be bothered to look. Right. More guests added to the Sydney Doctor Who Festival. Hey, hang on. Add them to the London one first. Hey, Deb.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Apparently,
Billy Piper, Dan Starkey. Too bad we don't have any co-hosts who live in Australia anymore.
Yeah, you've got Sylvester McCoy, Billy Piper and Dan Starkey going on now, haven't you?
Yeah, I think we should have some. We haven't got any classic Doctors at the London one yet. And
no,
Debbie's
I'm
told me
get Missy figure. That's one of my ambitions.
And Debbie's told me that I'm not allowed to book any more photos.
Oh,
pardon me. So
I will then.
Character options at last. Doctor Who announcement. Hope it's not bloody 3.5-inch figures.
5.5.
Oh, they're too small. It's all very well if they're going to do that, but they haven't released the 12 Doctors in that format yet. Very thoughtless character options, aren't they, Kirby?
Oh, Master? Anyone notice in yesterday's episode a return of the Missy theme, which is almost Mary Poppins-like?
Yes.
No,
yeah.
I didn't, no.
Love the music.
Yes.
Behind the scenes at the Abbey Road photo shoot, last week the BBC released photo of Peter Capaldi, Jenna Coleman, posing on Abbey Road zebra crossing in London, recreating the famous cover photo of other Beatles with the help of a couple of Daleks. Wonder what that means. Probably nothing. New products from Lavazzi.
Master.
I'm getting a deja vu moment.
Master, did you notice I posted on the Facebook page some two pictures of the Abbey Road photo shoot taken from the webcam?
Yes.
Ah.
They're just copying you on this page, aren't they?
Yes. You have to stamp a copyright on all your posts, you know.
I do love that picture, the Van Gogh picture.
Yes, it's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got that on a mug, but unfortunately it's now chipped.
BBC One have made a late change to their
schedule.
If
it's chipped, does it hang around with Cassandra?
Can I finish my sentence? BBC One have made a late change to their schedules on Sunday afternoon by adding a special feature-length broadcast of The Magician's Apprentice and The Witch's Familiar.
Ooh, so did you
I should
watch
have recorded
it?
That. I'd love to see it in an omnibus. It's like
no,
a movie.
I'm going to watch it on iPlayer so I get them all together.
Cool.
But this was shorter than the other two episodes.
Oh.
What? This is 90 minutes total.
Yes, well, they would have taken out all the what happened last week and what's going to happen next week
and
bits.
Intro music, yeah.
Deb,
yeah?
Can you tell him?
Yeah.
God's sake.
Tell me off, right?
You lose a few minutes of intro music and...
All right.
Coming up! And yes, last time on Doctor Who...
Previously on
Doctor Who. Yeah. And
For those of us who used to watch it back in the old days on PBS, the Howard De Silva introductions.
Yes. Anyway,
you don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't. But Russell T. Davis has defended the BBC.
I've seen it, but I don't remember a Howard De Silva introduction.
Yeah, don't worry about it, Mary.
Can you find it and put it up?
No, don't bother with that. Shut
up. I'm interested.
Russell T. Davis defends the BBC. Apparently in some sort of Radio Times Festival doodah thing.
Oh, it's about the subscription charges still, you know.
You mean the licence fee?
Yeah, the licence fee, that's what I meant, yeah. It is basically a subscription. But, yeah, they're querying that.
Apparently there's a US release for Dark Water, Death in Heaven in 3D. Has that come out in Britain yet? I don't think it has. Has it?
Yeah.
The 3D version?
It's been playing in theatres here.
No, on Blu-ray. Has it come out in Britain on Blu-ray?
Well, no, I mean, they just showed it in the theatres.
Yeah,
so
I haven't seen any Doctor Who in 3D yet. That's something I'm looking forward to for when we get our 3D, super HD, ultra HD television one day in the long distant future. I hope to get a 3D Blu-ray player to get
the
full benefit of 3D.
I think that...
Yes, you know, we could. Thank you, Andy.
He could. He'd be able to find a spot. My chair.
Well, first of all, taking out the old telly would be a start, wouldn't it?
You'll see little burn marks on their noses where they rub against the screen.
I'm talking about... I'm not in my studio. I'm talking about in our living room where we sit and watch television when Alicia allows us to just sit on the telly, on the settee.
You have to go and sit down so magic can set you first as well.
Missing episode hunter Philip Morris, the man responsible for recovering 9 missing episodes of Doctor Who, has told fans at a convention that he also located the missing episode 3 of Web of Fear, only for it to be stolen before he could return to the United Kingdom.
He initially located the episodes. Episode 3 was indeed part of the collection.
See how my voice changed there, listeners?
The negotiations for the return of the episodes took over 6 months.
And again,
when the episodes were finally returned to the UK, episode 3 had vanished. Morris said he believed that word of the find leaked out, an offer was made to a member of staff at the Nigerian station and that the episode had been sold to a private collector. Git.
There you go. And the press reaction, to which is familiar, Independent felt much of the success of the episode was down to Julian Bleach's performance as Davros. Guardian also liked Davros' Doctor dynamic. The Express said, "You can't help but love the villains," and TV fanatic loved the pairage or the pairing of Clara and Missy. I did get the feeling that Clara had become Missy's companion, and I quite like that. It's an interesting. It's like the Doctor and Rory as a sort, or the Doctor and Jamie having Missy and Clara. I thought that worked really, really well. You can imagine them going off together and having a few adventures where Missy sort of allows Clara to nearly die, but then just sort of keeps hanging on. I think I've just thought of a new series for the BBC.
Oh, really? I'm sure they've already thought of it.
Talking of a new series, I've heard something that Tennant is returning to Doctor Who in the Big Finish format.
Yes.
That's not on this news, but I have heard this.
Well, I know that there's, you know, been rumours. I didn't know that it was official.
I don't think it's official, but it's quite an exciting possibility, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
And Catherine Tate as well. Possibly.
That would be amazing.
It would be. So that is news. And
I posted those Howard DeSilva things for
Debbie. I saw you tagged me in that. I'll have a look at that now.
And that is essentially it for a very unusual episode of the show this week. Next week, I would imagine we're still...
What was unusual?
Because we had a special guest. Talked about it.
Ages ago, almost
already.
2 hours ago.
It's a different time.
And I wonder if... Matthew will turn up for next week's episode, which will probably record on the 4th of October. Keep the feedback coming in. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
What day is that?
Sunday.
It's a Sunday.
Sunday.
So we
Sunday,
also, we,
Sunday.
Also, we might have a new nanny.
We might indeed, yes. Yeah.
Yes. We might have to hear all about this.
Indeed. Yeah. So until then, keep enjoying your new Doctor Who and keep listening to the show. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Such enthusiasm.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and of a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.